Everyone, welcome over here to another episode of Speak the Truth Podcast. I'm your host, Matt Tardio. Today's episode is being sponsored by Upside. You know, earlier today, as we were doing our live broadcast like we do every day at 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, I ended up getting some really sad news that came across our feed, and it came from one of you guys. Started diving into it. Turns out it's real. Three of the hostages that were abducted from the Nova Music Festival were recovered today in Rafah. One of them, you guys already know, her pictures have been scattered all over the internet because of what Hamas did to her on October 7th. They literally stripped her dang near butt naked and were parading her around through the streets inside Gaza. And I really wish I could show you those pictures of her, but I'm not going to. Number one, out of respect for her and her family, but number two, it's just so grotesque. I can't even show what they did to her here on YouTube. Believe it or not. Now, the woman that I just referenced, who is being paraded around the streets inside of Gaza, her name, she was 22 years old at the time. She is a German Israeli. Her name is Shani Luke. There was also a 28-year-old Israeli, Amit Buskila, and a 56-year-old British Israeli, Itak Galarenter. Probably messed up his name, and I apologize if I did. All three of these individuals were found deceased inside of Rafah in southern Khan Yunis. And it sounds like one of our previous guests from this episode was actually on the operation. But the way he's making the statement, I'm going to play it for you here in just a sec. It sounds like he was actually a part of that operation. I could be wrong, but it kind of sounds that way. So I'm going to play the video for you. You can draw your own conclusion. I'm going to get him up on here. You guys might remember him, Doran Cater.
Guys, we just have been operating here in the Gaza area with my unit, and regret to inform that both good and bad news. The good news is that we've retrieved three more bodies of the hostages, three more been able to retrieve and get back on a special mission that we just carried out now. But the sad news is it's bodies, they're not alive. The three individuals have been announced, publicly announced now. The families have been notified and so on. So I'm able to share this. But this is the sad reality. It's the sad truth of the ongoing war that's going on here and what we've been dealing with. And just wanted to give this quick report as Shabbat's coming in here in Israel and as our missions are ongoing. So you all understand, we're here working hard to get our hostages back home, dead or alive, and to put an end to the threat of Hamas here in the southern communities here in Israel. Then continue our fighting in the north, because Hezbollah is continuing firing and fighting us in the north as well. So it is a multi-front war going on here that's continuous, and we're hoping to put an end to all of that as soon as humanly possible. God bless and shalom from Israel.
Now, if that story kind of is not sad enough, it kind of gets a little bit worse. We're now getting reports as well that Amit Buskila, she was a fashion stylist, and she was found in one of the tunnels underneath Rafah. Now, the unconfirmed information that's coming out states that she was brutally murdered, and they believe it is the result of the IDF holding off going in to Rafah to find them due to the pressure of the international community. And of course, all of this is coming as South Africa is taking Israel back to the ICJ yet again, asking the ICJ to intervene in Rafah again for claims of genocide they feel like is taking place in the Gaza Strip as a whole. Now, I'm going to be quoting Israeli Justice Ministry official Gilad Noam. Inside the ICJ today, he actually made this statement. It's causing a lot of people to freak out. And I want to kind of address this here for just a minute. He said, nearly 700 tunnel shafts have been identified in Rafah, from which approximately 50 tunnels cross into Egypt. These tunnels are used by Hamas to supply itself with weapons, ammunition, and could potentially be used to smuggle out Gaza hostages or Hamas senior operators. He went on further to say, at what point do we say enough to South Africa's repeated attempts to exploit the provisional measure procedure of this court in such a vile and cynical manner? Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have a talk about this, and it's going to have to do with would Hamas actually smuggle the hostages across the border and into Egypt and then take them abroad somewhere? Now, I had a very long discussion with several professionals today. I'm going to leave their names out of it because I don't want to misquote them, and nor would I want to put their information out there. Okay. But speaking with an Intel analyst today, ended up coming to the same conclusion essentially that I have. Is it possible for Hamas to smuggle the hostages out across the border into Gaza? The answer would be yes, it is possible. But in reality, is it probable? Would Hamas want to do that? Further, when we look at it, you got to also understand that on the other side, these tunnel systems that they're going to be smuggling weapons, equipment, and personnel through, oftentimes when they're doing things like that, the Egyptian security personnel on the other side are likely being paid off to kind of turn a blind eye to it. So for that, I suggest we go back and we look in history at Hamas's track record and what historically they have been using these hostages for, which truthfully is currency and trying to meet their current goals and objectives, which for the love of God, I don't even want to get into. However, they have been using these hostages in negotiations for the last several months as currency. So when we look at that and we start thinking about it, would it make sense for Hamas, who has been in, you know, ceasefire negotiations for the last several months, to take these hostages and smuggle them out of country to an unknown location in an attempt to, you know, get pressure on the IDF to either back out of the Gaza Strip or give up territory to Hamas or the Palestinian civilians? You know, my honest to God opinion, the answer is going to be no. It wouldn't make any sense for them to do that. And then the other side of the house, would it be for money? And again, my answer for that is going to be no. I don't see Hamas using money as a motive to smuggle people out. Then we also have the fact that they are, in fact, being rumored right now to be surrounding Sinwar underneath Khan Yunis. Now, if that's the case, they would be very valuable property that you wouldn't want to let go. Now, it was rumored coming out of Cairo during the ceasefire negotiation slash hostage negotiation between Israel and Hamas that Hamas essentially wanted upwards of 700 prisoners that Israel is holding onto in exchange for one hostage that they have. Further, we can look a little bit deeper into that, and Hamas has to provide proof of life, and they have to be able to actually meet the freaking standard that Israel would want if they're going to be able to go through that, i.e. they've got to, you know, be capable of exchanging them, and they wouldn't be able to do that in a timely manner if they weren't inside of the Gaza Strip. So as far as them being smuggled across the border, I said it's possible but not probable, and I do stick to that. Now, there is always the possibility that it happened because Hamas operates in a decentralized manner. All right. The right hand doesn't necessarily know what the left is doing. And let's be real, this is a terrorist organization. A lot of people that are in there inside of Hamas fighting for the Al-Qassam brigades and taking their marching orders from the top, being supplied weapons, they're not an organized military force. Therefore, even if Hamas told them not to take the hostages out of Gaza, there is always the possibility that they would. So it is possible, but I think it's highly improbable that they would want to smuggle the hostages out. It is quite literally the currency for the Hamas leadership. Now, in some form of a strategic victory for the Palestinians and the Biden administration, a humanitarian aid pier costing the U.S. taxpayers an estimated $320 million has gone up off the coast of Gaza. We have a floating dock about 3 miles offshore, and then we have the pier that got pushed into place into the Gazan shoreline yesterday by the Israelis. Now, that pier is fully up and functional. And this morning at 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, it actually received its first shipment of humanitarian aid. Now, I want to remind everybody that the people who are receiving this humanitarian aid are the ones in this video. What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? You guys all know my wife, very beautiful, very intelligent lady. And what she has always said is that if you take care of your pennies, the dollars will take care of themselves. And today, when inflation is through the roof, this is a great way that I just found in order to offset the cost of inflation. Now, it's a simple app called Upside. I use this app at several different locations, and I was shocked when I downloaded this sucker and I saw so many useful places near me that I go to on a regular basis. Check this place out. Take this place for example. Here's a gas station next to me. Now I blacked out, okay, the location of it, but trust me, you guys, trust me, this is where, all right, I go and I get gas. And look, I can get 41 cents a gallon off it right now. Here's another place that I actually take my family out to eat, and I can save $20 there when I take my family out to eat simply by using this app. Now, me personally, I'm going to take some of the money that I'm saving through using this app that, you know, I get off my fuel budget and take my family out to dinner, and I'm just going to take my wife out to eat with it. I'm probably going to do some renovations around the house, things like that, that actually need some attention in my life. Now, look, Upside partners with over 30,000 businesses and 25,000 gas stations across 48 states plus Washington, D.C. To get started, download the free Upside app and use promo code ROB when you sign up for free and get an additional 25 cents a gallon off your first tank of gas. All you got to do after that is claim the offer for whatever it is that you're buying. Pay with a debit card or a credit card and follow the instructions in the app to get paid. Guys, this pays out up to 3 times more than credit card loyalty reward programs. It's absolutely insane. And you can earn back hundreds of dollars annually on things you already buy regularly. Download the free Upside app and use promo code ROB to get an extra 25 cents back for every gallon on your first tank of gas. That's an extra 25 cents back for every gallon on your first tank of gas using promo code ROB. And I want to thank Upside for sponsoring today's very important video. Now, that may seem a little insensitive for me to say, but it's the truth. And I don't know if you noticed this or not, but the channel name is called the Speak the Truth Podcast, because that's exactly what we do. And undoubtedly, U.S. taxpayer dollars just went to supporting those people there inside of that video. I'm just going to throw that out there. Do with that information what you will. Have fun with it. Go ham. I don't care. A lot of people are concerned that U.S. troops are going to be in danger when delivering these supplies up and over to the shores of Gaza. And that's simply, well, it kind of is true, because they're only 3 miles offshore estimated right now. And they have been attacked by Hamas, the Al-Qassam Brigades, etc., all the terrorist organizations running around the Gaza Strip multiple times now since they started constructing this pier in order to bring humanitarian aid to the people of the Gaza Strip. But I digress. USAID actually released a video today that explains how all of this humanitarian aid is going to get moved into Gaza. So I'd like to go over that briefly with you. It says supplies from humanitarian organizations and donors, including USAID, arrive in Cyprus and they are inspected at the Larnaca port. From there, items coming through the maritime corridor, including nutrient-rich food bars, foods intended to treat severe malnutrition and wasting in children, and relief supplies, including hygiene kits. They then show the path that it's traveling on in order to reach the floating dock all the way out in the ocean. The aid travels the roughly 250-mile journey from Cyprus to the pier off the southwestern coast of Gaza. From there, and this is the floating dock platform that I was talking about, aid is moved from the floating platform to a pier anchored on the beach and then to a reception area on land. Then the aid is loaded onto trucks and independently distributed throughout the Gaza Strip by humanitarian organizations. So if you're worried about United States troops actually being in danger, the answer is yes, it is possible at this moment in time that U.S. service members could have been injured. But as it looks right now, the pier got constructed, Hamas can't shoot for crap, and they're going to be okay. So that's the good news. So obviously this week, there was also multiple mass casualties that took place inside of the Gaza Strip. However, not just the Gaza Strip that we have to worry about right now for the Israelis, also along the northern border yesterday, Hezbollah fired over 200 munitions into Israeli territory. Additionally, for the first time ever, which is what you're seeing on your screen, Hezbollah finally launched one of their armed drones to attack this Israeli position. Here you can see it firing these rockets directly into it before crashing into the Israeli position. Now, this is an increase in escalation from what we have seen from Hezbollah. Traditionally, over the past, they have been using guided munitions, guided missiles, things like that to attack. But this is the first time, documented anyways, that they have actually used a drone with munitions on it to fly over and shoot them into Israeli territory. And they actually impacted their target. Now, Hezbollah does have guided cruise missiles and things like that that they can put on these drones. And they have the capability of launching these drones all the way up from Beirut and being able to affect Israel. Additionally, they also have anti-ship ballistic missiles. Hezbollah is not something to just, you know, bat an eye at and pretend like they don't exist. Even this morning, on the last report that I read this morning before I came on and started putting this report together, it looks like they fired over 70 rockets into Israel today. Now, that's wild if you really start thinking about it, but Israel has been answering back. Israel has targeted several commanders on the Lebanese side of the border who belong to Hezbollah, and they've done it successfully. Now, all we got to do is wait and see how Hezbollah is going to respond. I'm going to be honest with you, at this moment in time, I don't think Israel is going to want to attack Hezbollah just because they don't want to be fighting a two-front war. Not that they're not already, but that would put them pretty much all in the north. And right now, their focus and concentration needs to be on Gaza. So I don't think Israel necessarily is going to kick this sucker off with Hezbollah on the other side of the Lebanese border. However, it is a situation that Israel has got to deal with at some point in time. They still have internally displaced people who have been moved away from the Lebanese border for the last 7 months. Eventually, Israel is going to have to deal with Hezbollah because it is a security concern. Now, the real question is Hezbollah going to step up their attacks to the point where it pressures Israel to cross the border and force them into a soldier-on-soldier confrontation where Israel troops are on the ground inside of Lebanon? That is yet to be determined, but I have a feeling Israel is going to resist that urge as much as possible until they are completely wrapped up with major combat operations in the Gaza Strip. Now, let's take a look at the Gaza Strip and see exactly where Israel's at today and what they've been up to. All right, so that's the northern border with Israel, but I want to take you guys out of there and start bringing you all the way down here over near the Kerem Shalom border crossing. Obviously, Israel kicked off operations over in this area days ago. And originally, they had entered in to this general vicinity just on the other side of the Kerem Shalom border crossing and immediately took control of the Rafah crossing and then secured this gigantic open space. And it looks like they're turning that into a logistical hub. Now, after several days of them being in this location, they ended up dropping flyers off in this area here, warning the residents to get out of Dodge that they were going to come in and start conducting combat operations again. So how far have they come since they started those operations? Well, along the fence line, they have advanced about 7 kilometers up the fence, according to best open source intelligence estimates. So they've worked their way pretty dang far. Now that is about halfway up the border in between Egypt and the Gaza Strip. That's a pretty big deal. It's a lot of terrain that they were able to gain in just a couple, like, days, really, to get in there. Now, they also have been pushing over here inside of these neighborhoods. And we have seen some very heavy fighting over here in the last several days. But it is not the heaviest fighting right now that's taking place inside the Gaza Strip. This is one of the locations in which the IDF hit a house-borne IED just 2 days ago, resulting in the death and wounding of over 10 Israeli troops. This is also the area that the Israeli official was talking about to the ICJ, telling them that there's over 700 tunnel entrances that have been found since they have been inside Rafah, and that over 50 of them crossed the border going into Egypt. That tells you that they're going to have to do this very slow and methodical. Additionally, they're looking for hostages. They came out earlier this week saying that they knew they had intel. Like, they knew that there was hostages inside of Rafah. So they're going to take their time. They're going to be moving very slow and very methodical through Rafah itself. 2 days ago, I was getting reports that the Israeli defense soldiers were actually digging at graves inside of Rafah looking for the bodies of deceased hostages. No word yet on whether or not the bodies of the hostages that were recovered today were found in grave sites, but it sounds like at least one was actually found inside of a tunnel. Additionally, up in Jabalia in the northern area of the Gaza Strip, the IDF is on another offensive operation because Hamas had re-emerged and they wanted to go in and crush them. Right here where you see this marker on the map, you're about to get a video of a massive weapons depot that was found by the Israeli Defense Force just in the last 24 hours. Here you can see it pinned on your map. Right next to it is this little open space. It looks like it could have been a soccer field or something of that nature prior to the war kicking off. Right now, it's a camp for internally displaced persons, allegedly. All right, this whole area, which you're about to see in some new and updated imagery, is actually filled with little shanties, vehicles, and everything else. Well, right where this marker's at that I have up on your map, directly across the street from that location and here inside of this building is where they found this weapons cache. I've got a video here for you of one of the IDF troops actually giving you a overview of what they were able to find in that particular building. Listen carefully. You can actually still hear gunfire going on in the background as he's showing you around this weapons cache.
ואנחנו ממש עכשיו נמצאים פה, באור אחריי, בתוך כמו מחסן טילים, שדה שיצור אמל"ח של הכוחות שנמצאים פה. אנחנו יכולים לראות שיש פה הכל, מטילים ורקטות בגדלים מאוד מאוד חריגים ביחס למה שיצא לנו למצוא פה עד עכשיו, עד לכנפונים, כמויות של אביזרי מתכת וברזל שאפשר אחרי זה לחרוט במחרטות ולהפוך אותם לטילים וקסאמים אחרים, דרך חומרי נפץ ועוד כל מיני דברים מאוד משונים שאנחנו מוצאים פה. זה מבחינת המקום הזה, שתבינו, חמאס משתמש גם ליד בתי ספר שהם במסווה של אונרה בשביל אתרי ייצור אמל"ח. סבבה, אנחנו נמצאים פה עם עוד מטעני שוואז מאוד מאוד חריגים בגודל. הם לפני מילוי, הדברים האלה הם עדיין לא מלאים, אבל יש לנו פה שוואזים, בואי תצלמי פה קצת מלמעלה, שהם באמת חריגים בגודל שלהם. כל מיני ראשי קרב לפני הרכבה של פצמרים ושל רקטות כאלה ואחרות, סתם ראש קרב של פצמר או רקטה כלשהי לפני שמרכיבים אותה, מנגנוני הקשה למיניהם. ואנחנו יכולים לראות פה דרך כנפונים ועוד סתם גושי ברזל ענקיים שיכולים להשתמש בתור אמצעים שיחרטו מהם לאחר מכן טילים. יש פה באמת 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 הכל מהכל.
Now, based on open source information that we can get, it sounds like two units up in the north actually suffered mass casualty incidents 2 days ago as well inside the city of Jabalia. Now, that is the same area that you were just looking at inside of that video that I showed you on the map. One of the incidences actually involved an RPG attack. Now, the rumor for the way it went down, according to the Al-Qassam brigades, is that they spotted these soldiers squatting outside the building, fired RPGs at them. Soldiers ended up taking cover. Then the tank rolls up and the tank ends up, you know, confusing, all right, the location of the terrorist fighters and ends up firing a couple tank shells into the building, wounding and killing even more soldiers that got wounded in the initial RPG attack. Additionally, in another attack that took place up in that area, there is also another house-borne IED attack that had occurred on the Israeli Defense Force. So they have been going through some pretty heavy fighting. Reports that are coming out of there are saying that it is some of the heaviest fighting that they have been facing since the actual start of this conflict. Now, that is a pretty profound statement considering that they have already rolled through that area and cleared it. And then Hamas reemerged and they're going back to re-clear it and get rid of the Hamas fighters. Now, this again is the location of that weapons cache that I just showed you on that video down in the bottom right corner of your screen, that building that's highlighted in red there. And I told you I had updated imagery of the IDP complex. Now, the interesting part to note of this complex for internally displaced persons is the amount of vehicles that's actually down here in the bottom right-hand corner. Additionally, if you were to zoom in on this, what you can see is an actual ingress and egress route that leads directly out of the corner of this IDP camp and would put them straight, straight in the way of walking into that building. I'm just providing that information to you. You can draw the amount of lines that you want in between, those two facts that I just gave you. Thanks for joining me for another episode of the Speak the Truth podcast. If you like what you saw, don't forget to subscribe to the channel. We do go live Monday mornings, 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, Monday through Friday. Starting next week, we're going to have some new live evening times on Tuesdays and Thursdays. I hope to see you guys over there. Take care. God bless.